Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman. I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of The Rejected Writer's Book Club.
Today we have a very special treat. Munir Bello is here. He's the author of The Breakup Recipe. And I'm feeling like a English sandwich right now. I have two Brits on the line and I am the creamy center. So with that lovely thought, I'm going to hand this over to Suzanne for the interview.
Okay, thank you, KJ. And welcome, everybody. And we are really excited to have Munir Bello here today, who is a very dynamic character who has written a really interesting book. Munir, why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself? I know that originally, originally you're from Nigeria and you're in England. How did that come about?
At the age of 10, my parents decided to send me to England to go to school.
Wow.
And 5 years later, they moved over.
Oh, so they left you there first?
Yes, so I was boarding. I was sent here with my older sister. Yeah, it was a time of my life because I had so much independence. But I used to go back every holiday to Nigeria, so I wasn't completely stranded.
So you actually enjoyed boarding, because not every child enjoys that. You actually enjoyed it then?
Oh, I loved it.
So what was the biggest change for you? I mean, coming from, and Nigeria is very warm, I'm sure. England's not very warm. Was there a big change for you?
I think, yeah, the weather would be one. In fact, the first winter I'd spent here, when I first saw it snow, I grabbed a jar and tried to trap some to send it home. And about half an hour later, when I came back in my room, the snow turned to water.
That's so strange. Yeah, that first time you'd seen it then, not surprising. And not quite the same now, I bet.
No, not quite the same now. I wouldn't touch the stuff with my bare hands.
Well, that's lovely. So you're a writer. Tell us, how did that come about?
So when I was younger, I was rather good at English in school, and I was always encouraged to take it further by my teachers. So I knew that there was a possibility that I could make a living out of it. I didn't really consider it until one day I faced a breakup that left me in a very difficult position financially, and I wanted to sort of make money quickly, and it was a lot easier for me to write than to sell drugs. So I wrote The Breakup Recipe, and it had a good reception. From there, sort of expanded into other arenas, which was first of all filming a dating show, because the book is about relationships, and most recently interviewing other creatives, because I struggled to get my first interview because I was an unknown. And now I sort of try and encourage on my website.
That's wonderful that you do that. So that's really interesting, because most people, when they start to write, they don't make any money. So how did you manage to make money writing your first book? Did you self-publish?
Self-published. And then to start off with, I just set up, you know, a Facebook page like most do, and got friends to do it. To purchase a book. After the friends, I then reached out to family members. And then before reaching out to sort of a bigger audience, I looked for fools. So by that I mean I went on the streets with flyers. I was distributing of the book. And
wow.
Buy it, which again sort of helped sales and reviews.
People bought it from that. That's amazing. I've never heard of anyone doing that. What a great idea.
Yeah.
It was the most practical thing I could do, you know, as a cost effective way at the time of getting it out there. So I printed out 10,000 flyers and handed them out to people.
How much of the actual book was based on the experience that you've been through? Because obviously you've been through a breakup and it was called The Breakup Recipe. I'm imagining there's some correlation, there's something between those two that's the same. Is that correct?
There's some parallel. So 20% of me within the book, albeit a far more exaggerated version, because for a comic effect, I try to, with any realistic situation, sort of stretch it. And then the rest of it was just a figment of my imagination.
Wow, that's great. So the lead character is you?
Probably 20% me.
Right. Yeah, and that makes sense. As a writer, it makes sense to do that, because you don't really want to base everything on ourselves. That's such a great idea. So I was reading through your reviews, and you have one that says, very interesting to read about the subject from a male perspective. Funny, honest, and unusual. So I'm guessing this is a female. And is that a normal? Have you had a lot of response like that, that people are just interested to hear it from that point of view?
Some, yes, because they've seen romantic comedies done from a male point of view. What they hadn't seen is sort of, I guess, reaching into the depths of the male psyche and bringing that out, because the book touches on, you know, sort of subjects that most males deal with in private. So, right. You know, you're getting a real insight there.
So I'm taking, is it a little X-rated? Do we have to warn people before they buy this book that it's a little X-rated?
I wouldn't say X-rated. I haven't had enough sex to write about it. It's very explicit.
Yeah.
The language, so it's not for the faint-hearted. It is quite colourful, but I'd like to think it was in a tasteful manner, but then I say that because I'm biased towards my own work.
Well, and you've done really well with it. Explain a little bit about the dating show you were talking about and how that came about. Is that an idea? Is that in production? Where are you with that?
So, with the dating show, last summer, I'd come up with a concept which I thought would work. It involved a lot of audience participation. And the main idea for me at the time was thinking, well, if it was to be sold to a network, it'd be easy to replicate in different countries. So I just went about filming two shows, one of the pilots, which I'm still shopping around to the networks as we speak. And the reason why I thought of doing that was because my book being based on relationships, I thought of sort of expanding the product, and that was a natural transition.
And of course, that as authors, we do need to be thinking multimedia now so much more, because that is so much more attractive to producers and other people when our work can cross divides like that. So that's a really smart marketing decision as far as you go. So tell us, is it very, the actual TV series, is there much you can share with that, or is that still kind of under wraps?
Oh, no, I can share a bit. It's not a matter of national security.
well, you know, some people are very, very protective about their ideas, so I just didn't want to cross that line.
Oh, it's okay. My head's not that far up my arse. With the show itself, you know, the format is basically showing people from before the date, right up to after the date, and for the audience, it's, I think voyeuristic is the wrong word, but my brain's not functioning enough to come up with an alternative. So it gives you sort of an insight as to what it's like, you know, getting ready for the date, on the way to the date itself, and the aftermath. And it's just sort of shortening the journey. So normally, most people take days, some weeks, to prepare for a date, and I've tried to trim that down into sort of 15 minutes.
Right. Oh, that's good. And that sounds interesting. I think that would be an interesting show. So, wow, good luck with that. I hope you get somebody pick that up for you.
And Munir, that's a reality show, right? This isn't scripted. This is actual people.
Yes.
Okay. So how did you find the people that would be willing to open their lives up for their dating life?
I went out to different places. So at first I started with the internet just to get some people to register interest. And then I went out to meet them. Some of them were not necessarily, when they heard about the show, wanting to go ahead with it. So I thought of something unorthodox. So I'd walk up into clubs. I'd go into people's groups of girls or groups of guys who were talking, and I would just say, are you single? And from there, as you can imagine, it opens up a load of conversations. You know, some guys thought that I was hitting on them,
yeah,
and wanted to get into a fight. Some girls thought I was interested in them, and I had to say, look, I don't actually find you attractive.
Oh, no. You've got giant kahunas there. It's amazing.
I love that you put yourself out like that and did that. What a great way to get, you know, a reality show going.
How did you produce it?
What worked in my favour was that I already knew a guy who ran a production company. And from when I pitched the show to him, he was on board. And luckily, so were his crew. So there was, you know, 16 people who bought into the vision and decided to work on set for a few weeks.
Well, it's nice to have friends in the right places.
Yep, it is.
I love it. So you're shopping now for someone to pick this up. Is that true?
That's correct. That's what I've been doing. I must admit, I haven't been as on the ball as I should have been because I've been distracted. But yes, that's the long-term goal, is to definitely sort of get that on people's TV screens, because I think it would be something people would enjoy.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, if anyone's listening and interested, you can contact me here at the contact information on our page.
Yeah, there you go. Right now, there are so many outlets for shows. You know, we've never been in a time where there's so many people that would pick something like that up. Good luck with that. We really hope that comes off for you.
Yes, that would be exciting.
Right.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the picture of your book on a tablet. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about that for our audience.
Sure. So the picture the ladies are referring to is one of me naked, and then there is an iPad covering it, and embossed on that is the book cover. And the reason why that happened was because I couldn't afford to have models that could pose for the flyer. And so I got people around, and again, I knew a camera crew who were willing to do the picture. So that helped. And the reason for going naked was to have a talking point, because it was easy to introduce that while I was trying to get interviews or handing out flyers to people, because it was intriguing.
Yeah, exactly.
And the image sort of, I guess, softened the conversation, because the first thing people would say is that you? I would say yes, and then get into the conversation about the book.
And now people send you pictures of themselves naked?
Yes, none that I've published. None that I've published, but when it first went out, I did used to get quite a few.
Oh my gosh.
You know, some with the cover, some without. But now it's fully clothed pictures that people will send in.
Good. Do you still collect those pictures?
Yes, I do. I display them on my website and the Facebook page. These are the fully clothed ones, just in case the FBI is listening. and yes, I display them.
Big listeners to our podcast, you know that, right?
Yes, they've all subscribed.
I've got a Muslim name, you never know.
Yeah, there you go. So, just remind us of your website while we're thinking of it.
www.thebreakuprecipe.com or the Facebook page, Breakup Recipe. You can send it through either of those channels.
And the picture that he liked is to actually have, if you've got a tablet or even a phone, you put the picture of the book cover on the front, right, and then you have a picture taken with that. Is that correct?
That's right. Or if you own the paperback, that too. So it's just anything that shows the book.
And it's a great way. It's a great way to engage your audience and have them be part of something. You have come up with some really great ways of marketing yourself. And I wonder if you could talk about any of those that have been really successful for you.
I did struggle to get anyone to give me an interview. And I sent about 5,000 emails out to journalists and bloggers and just said, look, I've written a book. Can you give me some space in your publication? And just by doing that again, for some of them, you know, most of them said no. Some of them said yes, but it also helped me to increase sales, because for some, there was a curiosity to find out, you know, more about this random naked black dude who was sending them an email. And so they purchased a book. And luckily for me, because of the reception it had, which was favorable, it allowed me to get more positive reviews sort of on the websites, you know, Amazon and what have you. And it allowed me to, again, entice buyers, where I could say to them, you know, here's my book. And the first thing they do is go on Amazon, and they're like, oh, it's got 130-something five-star reviews. Yeah, I'll take a look.
And, you know, I just wanted to point out something you just said, that you actually really sent a lot of requests out. You went really hard. And sometimes I think people give up quickly. They try a couple, and then they give up. And any work that you do like that pays off, you know, eventually. And I think it's really important just to stress that, you know, marketing is an ongoing thing, and you have to often be very persistent with that. Because obviously it's paid off for you. The book's doing well right now.
Yes, it is. And I think the other thing that I would also point out, which we discussed again, was that rather than sort of write this book and then start working on another one, I've done what I can to try and maximize sales for this particular one and its visibility, because I simply, and this is only my way of thinking, it might be right, it might be wrong, but I just simply believe that if you're going to write something, you spend months, some people spend years writing it, it makes no sense to immediately go on to something else, because you haven't got an audience built up already, so you're essentially writing for yourself and, you know, sort of a handful of people.
Yeah, clawing for your platform, that's a really good point. So what is your favourite platform that you work on in media? Do you have a particular one that you like?
YouTube and Facebook have for me been the most effective, because Facebook has allowed me to express myself more to people, whereas with Twitter, it limits you to 140 characters,
right.
And that's difficult. And then YouTube, of course, because it's videos, for some with even less of an attention span than Twitter users, they've got a visual aid.
Yeah, and do you have a YouTube channel?
Yeah, it's Munir Bello 1983, which is the same as the Twitter.
Great. What sort of things do you put on your YouTube?
YouTube has a couple of interviews that I've done, and then it also has the adverts. So I shot 42 adverts for the book.
Oh, wow.
And they're all on there for people to have a look at.
So that's really interesting, because I've never really got into YouTube. That's the one thing I haven't really got into with my book, because I'm always wondering, what would I put on there, you know? You shoot for 42.
Wow.
So are you just shooting just different adverts about the book, describing the book? What sort of adverts have you got on there?
So it's facial reactions. So all I did was put the camera on people reading the book and film their reactions. So there was 41 people filmed in total.
Wow, what a great idea. So you really are quite creative.
Thank you.
So tell us more about the, what other social media do you, you've got Twitter, you've got Facebook, is there anything else that you like to use?
There's Google Plus and Instagram, and what Instagram is good for is the pictures that we mentioned of people holding books. So if you go on the Instagram, it just has lots of people holding the book, and you can see them with the cover in different and different formats and different shades of people.
And really encouraging. I think on the whole, authors tend to be, a lot of authors tend to be afraid. They're afraid to put themselves out like that. It's been working really well for you. Do you have other outlets for your writing?
Yes, so I write for 3 different publications. 2 of them are the biggest in Africa. One's called Bella Niger, the other is called The Naked Convos. For those 2, I write dating columns on a variety of subjects. And because they allow me to advertise myself at the bottom of those columns, the readership I have there will naturally go towards the website or the Amazon to buy the book. And then a regular column, which started it all off, was for London's it's London's premier website for business women called We Are The City. So I write a regular column again. It's called Men Uncovered, and it's a case of women asking me a question. So, for example, and this isn't what I've written on, but it comes to my head, is, I don't know, say, why won't my boyfriend have sex with me? Just as an example, what I then do once I receive that question is I have a group of men who I would interview and say, this is a question posed by the women, and then I collate that and write the answers down. So the women are getting, you know, a column from the point of view of men, but rather than just be my point of view, it's several men. So that's been really popular, and those 3 have allowed me to luckily advertise the book.
So do people know that you have a group of people, or do you just that's just your own private group that you work with?
Yeah, people know. So yeah, that's where the popularity of it sort of grew, because they knew it wasn't sort of a narcissistic effort by me to simply say, oh, this is what I think. I'm not old enough to have that wisdom.
Right, and here's the great thing about what you've done there is you're writing a column that connects really nicely with your book. So if somebody likes your column, it's just a no-brainer to go buy the book, right?
Yes, indeed.
That's very smart. And did you get into those after you wrote the book, or was that something you were already involved with before you started the book?
No, so it was after the book, after I'd gotten enough traction,
right,
when I thought to approach these sites to say, are you interested in interviewing me? That was the original approach. And they then turned around, having read the book, and said, actually, we would like you to write for us. And
match
made it happen.
So you went out, there's another thing, you see, we talked about earlier, is you went out for one thing, and often that's what can happen, is they've got something else going on that you're a perfect fit for. So it's so worth reaching out as you did to people. That was a great idea. Now, I wanted to actually mention, I know you talked a little bit earlier about this, about you interviewed creators, and I was one of the creators you just interviewed, and I was very impressed with your whole interview technique. You're very good at that, much better than I am. But I wanted to just talk about the kind of response that you've had from that, because you really do an in-depth interview. Do you find that people really enjoy that?
Yes, so both the interview subjects and the audience like it, because I like to interview in a conversational manner, because then it's less rigid. So that's the first thing that I aimed for, because I use my experience of being interviewed and sort of then apply that to how I interview others, just to give them, you know, room to say what they like, which some places might not if they give them a set of questions and a set time.
Right.
So that was the key, to make sure that the people had a good time, and then the audience reading it also enjoyed it, because for a lot of these people, it was the first time they were being interviewed, or that's how it started off. The fact it was the first time they were being interviewed and they were being handled in what I'd like to think is an ethical manner, it meant that their loved ones and other associates of theirs could read that and actually think, oh, I've gotten to know this person more. But then they also want to know about the other people that have been interviewed.
No, yeah. I mean, I think the interview went on for almost a week between you and I, because you were emailing back and forward. We started out with a with a phone interview. I was really impressed with how thorough the process was, and I thought you did a really good job. So I totally encourage you to keep doing that, and also encourage people out there that to start that, you know, to start the blog. If you are struggling to get people to the blog, then go interview people. You know, there are people out there that will be interviewed that want to connect with you. And you really have done that. You've really connected with a lot of people this way too, haven't you?
I've tried to, yeah. I've definitely tried to. And it's really sort of, as you pointed out, it's helped bring audiences to me that I had no access to previously.
Right.
Well, I got to say too, he interviewed me as well, and it was a lot of fun just going back and forth. He always had, you know, it was almost like an actual conversation because he would comment on what I'd said and then it would go on. And it's probably easier to put an interview that way as well instead of talking and then you have to write it all up. You've already got the author's written version and your written version as well. And we'll put up links to Suzanne's interview and my interview with Munir for everyone to check out. He does a great job, and we're so interesting, so it was probably easy for him, right?
Yes, you guys were fun. You were really good interviewing. I enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
We did too.
Did you have something, KJ?
And I was just going to say, I liked it. We had that little Skype call. I was like, ooh, listen to your cool accent. I love it. That was fun.
What advice would you give an indie author just starting out and not sure where to start with marketing? You know, we have zero budget when we start out, and then by the time we pay for our covers and, you know, all the editing that we need done, and we have even less budget.
If we're talking actual tangible advice, then flyers are definitely a good way, because you're speaking with people in the streets and you're selling yourself for free. You know, you're not paying for placement in a publication that might not yield any results. So definitely do that. And I think the second thing, which is less tangible but equally as important, you better have thick skin, because a lot of people have spent so much time writing, and when they get the most minute bit of criticism, they don't take it well. And you just got to be prepared that a lot of people are not going to like your stuff. Equally, a lot of people are. But with the people that don't, do not dismiss them, because that's arrogant. You know, make sure that you learn from what they say.
Right.
And it allows you to apply that into your work. Is the beauty of self-publishing, of course, is that if somebody has noticed, say for example, I first got pulled up on a typo when I released a book, I'm able to pull that off the market, correct that typo, and republish.
And you're right, you know, writing now, the marketplace is so open, you know, so many people can comment, there's so many places to do that, then there is more opportunity for people to voice their opinion. And I totally agree with you. You have to be thick skin, that everybody's going to love you. You know, I'm from the show business background, and we always had that, you know, you only please half of the people half of the time, you know, and it's true. You have to just understand that people are different and that everyone's going to appreciate what you're doing. That's really great advice. And so here's my little question. What would you like to be doing in 5 years' time? So if I could wave a magic wand, have you got any plans? I know that as far as career goes, where would you like to be in 5 years' time?
I think career-wise, it would be nice to transition the book into either a TV series or a film. I must point out, at this stage, I'm nowhere near that.
Right.
So that would be, you know, one of the first things. And then I guess after there's a solid base built for those, either one of those avenues, then naturally the dating show as a spin-off, you know, grows. Because, again, as I mentioned, I'm biased towards my own work, and I do think it's a nice format. And the nice thing about it is that dating is identifiable to anyone, be it, you know, someone in a cave in Afghanistan or somewhere in the city of New York. And just for that to grow and, you know, penetrate the market worldwide. But, yeah, that's a dream.
Yeah, and, you know, that's how it all starts. I mean, if you're willing to go on the street and give out leaflets and deal with people, you know, right there and then, you can do anything, I'm sure.
You know, when you took the picture for the cover where you're naked and your tablet was covering things, you were fully naked, right? And you had a crew taking pictures. I'm just trying to, like, wrap my mind around me doing such a thing, which would never happen in a million years, but...
Well, it's a funny story. I don't know how much time we have.
No, we're good. We're great.
Okay, it's a funny story what happened there, because I mentioned the idea at the time to cameraman and his camera crew. And I've gone over, at the time, I thought to work on designing the book cover, because he also does illustration. When I got there, I noticed there was a few girls there, and I thought, well, I don't know who you guys are, what you're doing here, but they were really excited, and they're like, oh yeah, we've got popcorn for the big show. I thought, well, okay. So finally, after we've done the cover, Charlie says, yeah, we're going to do the shoot for the flyer, you know, for the marketing stuff. And I at first said, no, now's not the time. And then what I then noticed was that I was being fed a lot of Jack Daniels. Everybody else was drinking water.
They're lubing you up for the naked shot. I love it.
They did. And then literally at this point, I've lost my inhibitions and I said, let's go for it. And I got oiled up. My childhood friend Charlie participated a bit. You know, he did a really good job. It was a bit too good. I was kind of concerned.
Oh my god!
Everyone's going to want to go look at pictures. Where can we get your book? We should also point that out. We should have a link.
I guess the best place you can get the book is Amazon. You can get it Barnes & Noble, Bowl, and various subsidiaries. If you want to see the actual picture, it's all over the Breakup Recipes Facebook page, the website, or if you googled it now, on the image section, it's there as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, you have a good body.
I work at it. Thank you very much. No, it's a lot of hard work.
Did you prep for the picture? You were in training for your big debut?
I didn't have to because it's something that I do regularly. So when I was writing my book, for example, I work out so much that it was part of the regular routine. So I used to go to work 9 to 5. I'd come home, I'd go to the gym, and then I'd write. Fall asleep for 3 hours and do that continuously for 9 months.
Wow.
That was your process then, your writing process.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing.
Sounds really good. I do the gym and I do the writing, but I also have kids and, you know, other things. So
yeah,
I don't have the luxury of just focusing like that.
You edit and write on the treadmill, which I think is amazing.
I have to. It's the only time people leave me alone. Seriously. No, I do the late night writing and all that other stuff too, especially when the kids are in school. I'm finding trouble now in the summer to have any moment to myself. But those things happen. That's partly why we enjoy children.
It's a training and get them to proofread.
Yeah, well, you know, their reading level's pretty good, but I'm not sure they're up for editing my book, especially with some of the scenes I have in there.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's not turn them into little pervs too early. You know, should we do our quick fire questions for you?
We actually have quick fire questions for you.
So your instructions, Munir, are to answer the top of your head. There's no deep thought and no backtracking. No, I'm just kidding. You can backtrack if you want. But okay, so these will be easy, simple things. So first of all, tea or coffee?
Coffee.
When you write, do you listen to music or do you need silence?
Either.
So you can do both. Interesting. What did you want to be when you were growing up?
An actor.
You may still get to do that. What if you get into the Breakup Recipe lead role? It's possible, right?
Oh, no. I gave that a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't good enough to succeed. myself.
Stick to writing. Okay, well, there you go. Is there a book that you have that you could read every year?
Of Mice and Men.
Ah, good. Dog or cat?
Dog. I hate cats.
Okay. Is there an author, either alive or not alive, that you would most like to have dinner with?
Maya Angelou.
Ooh.
Oh,
excellent.
Me too.
Excellent.
Uh-huh. And you know the food would be good too.
It would have to be. What's your favorite vacation spot?
New York.
Get out. Okay. Favorite book genre?
I'm torn between biography and heavy drama.
Not comedy. That's interesting. Since you write that, right?
Comedy I prefer to watch. I don't find written comedy as laugh out loud as watching it on TV or film.
Okay, so are you a morning writer or a night or evening writer?
Whatever hours I can get.
Yeah, me too. Whatever works. If money was no object, where would you live?
Oh, that one I have to think about. Okay, so I have to think about food first and foremost. You know what? But this is purely based on an episode of Man vs. Food I recently saw. It'd probably be Florida.
I lived in Florida. All right. Yeah. Florida. I lived in Florida. Is there a part of Florida that you are partial to, or are you just saying that based on that show? I love that show, by the way.
Well, whatever it was, they were cracking the humongous crabs with a hammer the size of a shovel. They'd be there.
So, seaside, somewhere in Florida. I'll go with you. That sounds amazing. I would love to get back to Florida. What is your favorite comfort food?
Ice cream. Specifically, Ben and Jerry's peanut butter cup.
Oh, that's amazing. I would have to say ice cream as well, but do you have a nickname?
Mooney.
And if you had to pick, beach or mountains?
Beach.
Yeah, Me too. All right.
And here's the way. Ding, 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 ding. Oh.
Yep, that was our rapid fire questions. Thank you for playing
along. Good job.
Yes, good answers. Good answers. All right. Well, Suzanne, is there anything else that we need to?
No, I think this was great. It's been wonderful to really learn more about you.
Well, if you
don't
come over to England, can you make sure you bring a pack of fruit roll-ups?
Oh,
yeah.
Next time I'm at the store, I'm
going to
send you some. I just need to address.
What is up with the fruit roll-ups? You have that in the interview with her. What does that even mean?
Right. They taste so damn good.
Do you not have those there?
No, we don't. Or if we do, it's at a very, very overinflated price.
Ah, okay. So they're imported. Well, shoot, we need to open up a business for fruit roll-ups in England.
There you go.
I keep you in business.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right. Well, we'll have our listeners donate a box to Munir's fruit roll-up fund.
Thank you all.
Yeah, no, this has been a great interview. Thank you so much. We really enjoyed having you.
I've enjoyed being there too, man. It's been nice. Thank you very much for having me.
Please join us next week where we welcome Jerry Walker. She is an editor and a blogger with Word Bank Writing and Editing and also an indie author. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.